Luke 6. Verse 46. That's what we spent all day yesterday on, but we got a few more scriptures. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Do not, or do, that the do, it doesn't mean like you work. It means it's not, you don't produce the seed. You don't produce the fruit that I planted. And let's go to, since we're in Luke, let's go to Luke 13.
Luke 13?
Luke 13. Verse 22. No, verse 25. Now, Lord is the Greek word kyros. When it says, Lord, Lord, why call you me Lord? And kyros is the word for owner. And that's what's so hard for us to understand, that we are not our own. We've been bought with a price. Now, here he says, instead of Lord, he says master, which is the same word, in verse 25. When once the master of the house has risen up and has shut the door, and you begin to stand without to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know not whence you are, or who you are. Then shall you begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know not whence you are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, when you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves are thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south and shall sit in the kingdom of God. And behold, they are the last which shall be first, and they are first which shall be last. So the question is, what's going on here? He said twice. He said, I know not whence you are. I know not who you are. But you're calling him Lord, Lord. We've eaten with you. We've drunk with you. We've sat in your presence. We went to Bible studies. And he shall say, I know not who you are. Let's look at Matthew's version of this, Matthew 7. Verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And again, you got to hear this. The word doeth is poio in Greek. And it means it's what a thing produces. Pecan trees produce pecans. Orange trees produce oranges. Fig trees produce figs. And he's saying that you call me Lord, but you're not producing the thing which I planted. Then many will say that in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils. And in thy name have done many wonderful works. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. What it means to say, when I never knew you, you were not of the same nature. This is why the main thing that you must understand is that your life is gone. His life is there. You can't have both. "Depart from me, I never knew you, ye workers of iniquity." The word iniquity comes from, it's all over the, in Hebrew, it's the word aven, which means self-seeking. No matter what you've done, you've continued, and no matter whose name you did it in, you've continued to have as the predicate of your life self-realization. The only difference is now you're doing it in God's name. And unfortunately, this is something that should produce the fear of God in every one of us. If you're not producing the fruit of His life in you, doesn't matter what you call yourself, doesn't matter how many times you go to the altar, it doesn't how many times you accept Jesus as your personal Savior, He will say to you in that day, "I never knew you, you workers of iniquity." Let's go to 2 Corinthians 13. Verse 5. "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates?" The predicate, we said so often, the predicate of Christianity is your death. And unless that is the predicate of your life, that you're no longer, you've been buried in baptism. Now it's only He that lives in you. And so examine yourself. And it says, prove to your own self, prove to your own self, prove to your own self that Jesus Christ is in you. Now how do you do that? How do you know that you know that you know? This is the biggest question you can ever ask yourself. How do you know? One way and one way only. And that you wait on Him. When you're confronted with an issue that everything in your mind says is wrong and you've got to do something about it, instead of doing anything, you wait on Him. And, I mean, everything else is just philosophy. Do you understand? It didn't mean anything. It's just philosophy, unless you know that He's in you. Again, read it. See, look at how many times He says it. Examine yourselves. This is the only time you're taught, as I know of in the New Testament, that you're supposed to examine yourself. Examine yourself, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate? How do you know? No, I know because I speak in tongues. He did that. That's already said He did that. I call down fire. I exorcise demons. He'll say, "Still, depart from me, I never knew you, ye workers of iniquity." Well, I've done good all my life. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I've taken in the homeless. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Look at all the people I've helped. You know, you were helping because you were trying to get your own redemption. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Does that bring up anything in anyone? Why call you me Lord, Lord, and you don't do what I say? Now again, it's not doing. It's allowing the fruit of his life in you to be revealed. Let's go to Matthew 25. Did we already do that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, never mind. Let's go to, we got to look at this a little bit more. Let's go to 1 John. Got to do this as a predicate every time because otherwise it gets confusing. What page is 1 John 25 on you that have a stolen Bible?
1266.
12 what?
1266.
1266, Miss Sandra. You got it? Behold, beloved, believe not every spirit.
Since you didn't tell us, we're at chapter 1.
Since you didn't tell us.
Aren't we proud of ourselves? You got your smug little smile on your face.
We're not clairvoyant.
You never tell us anything.
And you know, they're making fun of me, as you can tell.
No.
Because I said, when I say go to First John, and if I didn't say which chapter, it automatically means that you're in chapter 1, verse 1. And I'm not there. I'm in 1 John chapter 4.
Whoa, you're way away.
My bad. Father, forgive me, I've sinned.
That was a barbecue job.
All right, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Now, this doesn't mean a spirit that's coming around and it's a spirit is anything without a body. Do you understand that? So every word you speak is a spirit. Every thought you have is a spirit, or anybody else has. Every preachment is a spirit because it has no body. So, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try or test the spirits to see whether they be of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, in your flesh, is of God. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Now, what does it mean to confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh? In all of the other Bibles, all of the other translations that I'm aware of, except King James, it says, in verse 2, it says, hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confessed that Jesus Christ came in the flesh is of God. Past tense. The Antichrist confesses he came in the flesh. And the Antichrist confesses he's coming in the flesh. But it's only the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. And it's only you as a true disciple knowing that Jesus Christ is in you that ever you can ever, ever, ever hear this. And the reason is because if you know that he's in you and you know what true repentance means, which is abandonment of self, then you know that the thought, any thought that you have that doesn't confess that he's come in the flesh is not of God. No matter how good the idea. This is what it means. If he is come in the flesh, number one, you're perfect. Number two, you're holy. Number three, you need never again to consider what's going to happen to you. Number four, you can never again have a need. Number five, wherever you look, you see the perfection of his holiness. Wherever you look, you see that every knee is already bowing, every tongue is already confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord. If you don't know that, then your thoughts will reveal where you are, and your speech will condemn you, because your speech will not be seasoned with salt. You don't have the component of eternity in the speech. You haven't kept... Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought, every single thought, to the obedience of Christ. What is that obedience? The obedience is his emptying, so that you're walking in emptiness. You're no longer giving breath to anything in the world. Go to 1 John 2. Verse 15. Love not the world. Now again, here, love is a verb. And the verb form, which was the common verb form in ancient Greece, agapeo, it isn't agape, that's a different word, that's the noun. Agapeo just means whatever you give importance to, whatever you give breath to. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. You're not giving breath to anything in the world. Anything. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. There's nothing in time and space that can possibly capture your attention. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Now the word world here is ion. And it means it's not the physicality. It's the I can't ever pronounce it, Josanna. Zeitgeist, which is the spirit of the age. It's the value system of any culture, of any age, of any time. And if you're giving importance to any aspect of it, whether it be politics, whether it be finance, whether it be morals, no matter what it is, it's the spirit of the age, and that's what you're not to love. Love not the ion, the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father, which is Jesus Christ, is not in him. How do you get there from here? Only one way. You bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. If you see yourself giving breath to something that's in the world, Father, forgive me. If you have any love at all for a brother, and you see a brother or sister giving breath to things in the world, you exhort them. You exhort them daily while it is still called today. Otherwise, you don't love them. You're just letting them die. It's like letting a baby walk out into the middle of the street and get run over by a car. But this doesn't seem like love to the world. It seems like you're being a bastard. Some of you have indicated in the past. The evidence of your love isn't, oh, God, you're such a sweet person, and I just love you. That's his words. The evidence of your love is that you snatch them out of the fire. Back to Luke.
Where'd you go back to?
Luke 6. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Anybody have, that's enough, I don't feel like talking anymore. Anybody have, is that enough for everybody?
Maybe I feel like listening to you more.
You can go in a closet and talk to yourself. You're not even supposed to be here. You're supposed to be out working or protecting the streets or something. And you're going to come here and bug me? You see him?
Yes. Protecting Columbia. It's never been safer.
All right. This is really important. We've covered some stuff that if it doesn't put the fear of God into you, you're an idiot. All right. Everybody understand? Anybody have any? Now, if you have questions or you doubt it, whatever it said is true, then please say something. Sandra? You understand? See, she's one of these people like, we originally called it the Buckner syndrome, because the woman always understands first. See, then we're going with him, with her. You know, he's a little slow.
All I can say is that I've read the Bible over and over and over again, and I've seen these scriptures and everything, and no one has really ever told me like this. But now it makes a lot of sense what I'm reading.
No, to me it makes, when you see what it means, it's not just reading words. You're not worshiping the Bible. You're worshiping the one the Bible speaks of. Amen? Take it, big guy.
It always amazes.